The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Out of Retirement.
Here are the certificates, Mr. Bentley.
I'll write you a bank draft immediately.
Oh, there's no rush.
It was indeed very kind of you, Mr. Helton, to put me on to this stock.
My pleasure, sir.
I certainly was fortunate meeting you downstairs at the bar that day.
Well,
if this stock goes as high as you say it will, I'm eternally indebted to you.
Oh, you don't owe me a thing, sir. And that stock will move up by leaps and bounds after the first of the month.
When the announcement is made that oil has been struck.
Yeah, that's right. According to inside information, the yield is going to be record-breaking. And you're in on the ground floor. Below the ground floor, shall we say.
Huh? Mr. Helton.
Yeah.
Where did you have these certificates printed?
What?
These stock certificates. Who printed them?
Oh, but...
And how much did they cost you?
I'm afraid I don't follow you, Mr. Bentley.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
If you have something on your mind, come out and say it, sir.
I will. These certificates aren't worth the paper they're printed on.
That's a serious accusation.
I realize that.
I don't think I like what I'm hearing.
I shouldn't imagine you would, Mr. Helton. I know quite a bit about stock deals such as yours. I'm very familiar with this sort of swindle.
Now, look,
sir. As a matter of fact, I fancy myself an expert. The moment you approached me with the proposition that first day down at the bar, I had an idea of what you were up to, young man.
Wait. Now, hold it. Don't call the police yet. Let me explain, huh?
The bar, please.
Bar?
Yeah, this is Mr. Bentley in 907. Will you please send up some drinks? One bourbon old-fashioned and the usual, Mr. Helton, scotch and soda.
Huh?
And a scotch and soda, please. Thank you. Now, sit down, young man. Relax. The drinks will be up presently. You look as though you certainly could use one. Are you feeling ill?
I don't know.
Certainly confused, at any rate.
You can say that again.
You want to know what this is all about?
Yeah.
Why I didn't call the police?
Yeah.
Why I'm taking this in such a calm, easy manner?
Yeah.
My reasons are both intellectual and emotional. Also very personal, I might add.
Now, will you please get to the point?
The main point, young man, is that you're a bungler, a crass amateur. I saw through you immediately.
Oh, but Mr...
If I've injured your professional pride, I'm sorry, but I must speak the truth. Another thing, these certificates are of the cheapest grade of paper, and the printing frightfully slipshod. It's apparent you don't even have the courage of your own swindler's convictions.
Why are you telling me all this?
I said I had a personal interest, young man.
Well, that doesn't tell me anything yet.
Does the title, The Purple Duke, mean anything to you?
Purple Duke?
No, I suppose it doesn't.
Purple Duke. Hey, wait. Sure, I've heard of him. He was the head man in this business in the old days. He was the smoothest, slickest operator of them all.
Not a clumsy bungler like you, young fellow. The Purple Duke. Ha ha. There was a truly finished confidence man.
How come you know so much about him?
Well, we were on the most intimate terms, the Duke and I.
Friends?
Closer than that. As a matter of fact, I am the Purple Duke.
What?
That's right.
Hey, you're kidding.
I have a large scrapbook to prove the fact. All my notices since my first large-scale operation.
Well, I didn't expect anything like this. I thought the Purple Duke, gave up the business years ago.
I did. Oh, the sunset of life is peaceful and quiet. Yet I long for the activity of times gone by. The hooking of the sucker, the lightning-like getaway, the exhilarating byplay with the law.
Not to mention the monetary return, huh?
In my retirement, I'm not without the simple comforts of life.
Simple? I understand you got out of the business with a barrel full.
It's not what you get away with, young man.
Call me Stan, please, Mr. Bentley.
It's not what you get away with, Stan. It's the amount you can keep. Oh, that's the waiter with our drinks. Answer it, will you? Then we'll continue this chat. It's obvious you're badly in need of some good old-fashioned advice.
By the spring of 1954, Philip Bentley, better known as the Purple Duke, had long disappeared from the criminal scene after serving a final prison sentence. His successful career, spanning three decades, had enabled him to retire to a life of peace and ease. However, many took up where Bentley left off. One of these, Stanley Helton, alias Stanley Hill, was high on our most wanted list. The crossing of these two men's paths was to be part of the chain of events which finally led Helton into our hands.
I tell you, Cora, I got Bentley eating right out of my hand.
Don't be too sure.
Oh, trouble with you, baby. You're a real worrywart.
Just remember, Stan, he wasn't born yesterday. He knows this business inside out.
Yeah, but like I always say, it takes an operator to make a sucker out of another operator.
Oh, I don't know.
Baby, will you stop that? He fell in line just the way I said he would, didn't he? I made him take a fatherly interest in me, didn't I? I made him think I was a jerk, didn't I? A clumsy, bumbling amateur. Well, didn't I?
Yes, Dan, only...
Only what?
Well, getting him to give you advice is one thing, but taking him over the hurdles is another. After all, no matter what you say he was, the Purple Duke.
And that's just where I'm going to get him, baby, on his pride, on his big, fat ego.
But you told me he said he's finished in this business, staying in retirement.
Now, don't you worry your pretty little head about that. You just keep practicing the part you're going to play. Like I said, I'll get to him through his ego. Well, he's worse than a prima donna. I'll drag him out of retirement for one final farewell appearance and a big payoff for us. The Purple Duke. Is his face going to be red?
On the morning of May 3rd, 1954, Agent Reynolds came into my office with a tracer from the Philadelphia police.
This should interest you, Steve. The victim's name is Arthur Hammond, a wealthy builder.
What interested me even more was the fact that Hammond had been taken over by a man named Hill, who was identified as Stanley Helton. It was a simple oil stock swindle.
It may be a simple matter to you gentlemen of the FBI, but being taken over for $10,000 is anything but simple to me.
Of course, we regret your loss, Mr. Hammond.
I'm not asking for regrets. I want restitution.
That's out of our hands.
Well, someone should pay for this.
Helton will, when we catch up with him.
You mean he'll serve time?
Uh-huh.
What good will that do me if he's already spent the money?
What good? It'll spare any future victims.
I'm talking about me. Let the others look out for themselves.
You didn't seem to look after yourself very well, Mr. Hammond. For your $10,000, all you have to show are these worthless stock certificates.
Well, I...
So you're in no position to give advice.
I guess you're right, Mr. Stevens. The whole thing's been so galling to me, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You bought the stock certificates when, Mr. Hammond?
The 5th of April.
And you didn't realize you were duped until yesterday?
When I spoke to my broker.
That's the first time you mentioned the deal to your broker?
Yes. Hill advised me to keep it on the QT, since the stock wasn't supposed to be listed on the exchange until June.
But when it wasn't listed at all?
I consulted my broker.
Do you know where Hill stayed here in Philadelphia?
The Standish Hotel. I met him there first in the bar, but don't expect to find him there still.
Knowing his method of operation, we don't.
I checked. He moved out the same day I gave him the money. No forwarding address.
Naturally.
And I'm left holding the bag with these worthless certificates.
Well, perhaps not so worthless.
What?
To us. It's just possible that Helton's own stock may sell him short.
Personally, Stan, stock deals were never my favorite operation. I found them deadly dull.
The take wasn't dull.
Money isn't everything. Man does not live by bread alone. It offends me to see the way things are done these days.
You mean cut and dried?
No imagination, no flair, just cold-hearted business. It's a disgrace to my profession.
Yeah, I guess it does upset you.
It makes me boiling mad.
Yeah. If you were back in business, you'd show him a thing or two, huh?
Yes, I would. But my time has passed. I'm an old man.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. If anybody could make a sensational comeback, it's you, Mr. Bentley.
That's kind of you, Stan.
That's not the only reason I'm saying it.
Oh?
Now, you see, well, it's no use trying to kid you, so I'm being honest. I've been having tough going lately.
No wonder the way you've been operating.
Well, that's the point. I need help, and you're the man who can give it to me. Now, I'm willing to take any kind of a split you say. You said it.
But, Stan, I'm out of the business for good.
Now, if we could just pull your family heirloom deal once. Just once, so I could get the hang of it.
But I don't need the money.
Now, you told me the heirloom deal was your favorite operation.
Yes.
Now, you told me how you got such a boot out of it.
It does have delicacy and finesse. It took me years to develop that operation to perfection, as I said.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Now, I couldn't expect myself to pull it off right the first time. I need you to take me through the paces, you see, and... Well, they say the best way to teach is to do.
That's a fact.
Now, you said yourself you still ache for activity. The hook and the sucker, the lightning-like getaway, the exhilarating byplay with the law.
Ah, yes, those were the days.
Now, what do you say?
I don't know. It's been so long. Out of touch for so many years.
Oh, it'll come back to you in a snap.
Do I dare?
Dare? The Purple Duke? Well...
All right, Stan, but just this once. Just one final appearance, and then back to retirement.
Back to out of retirement in just a moment.
Somebody in our government has to do the housekeeping. See that the plumbing doesn't leak, that electricity and oil and coal aren't wasted, that the garden is kept in good shape, that the animals are fed, that the people have a place to enjoy themselves outdoors. Don't they? They certainly do. Well, all this is the work of the Department of the Interior, which at one time was called the Home Department. The biggest job of the department is conservation, the protection of the things that make our country a good place to live. The land, water, oil, coal, forests, minerals, fish, and wildlife. These are our natural resources. If it weren't for the conservation work of the Interior Department, it wouldn't be long before all the farm and grazing lands would be washed or blown away, and all the wildlife would disappear from the forests and the fields. Another important job of the department is the development of new natural resources and the caring for the national parks where people can go camping or sightseeing. And the Secretary of the Interior has a special job in wartime, making sure that the armed forces and defense industries get enough oil and other fuels. Good thing we've got some good housekeepers working for the Secretary of the Interior, isn't it? It sure is.
Now, Act Two of tonight's story, Out of Retirement.
Agent Reynolds and I returned to Washington with the phony stock certificates where they were sent to the Bureau's lab for analysis to determine the manufacturer of the ink and paper. Meanwhile, Stan Helton continued his latest pursuit, cheating a cheater.
Well, Cora, how do you like the setup?
It's all right.
All right? The best suite in the best hotel in L.A. setting me back $60 a day and you say it's all right.
I was just thinking, Stan, maybe you're throwing your money away.
I told you, baby, we've really got to impress Bentley. He's got to believe you're a genuine society dame. Well, come on, let's have a drink. This calls for a celebration.
Don't count your diamonds before they're in your pocket.
Oh, the voice of doom.
Just being practical.
Since when were you practical?
Since you started this thing with Bentley.
He's no different than any other sucker, only maybe easier.
Yeah, you say.
I know.
Don't be too sure.
I know everything about him from A to Z.
Listen, there's nothing to stop him from pulling a switch.
Not him. Not him, baby. He's as old-fashioned as a Model T. All his operations were straight down the line. He wouldn't know how to switch in midstream if his life depended on it.
Well, I just hope you're right, Stan.
You can make book on it. Well, come on, let's have that drink.
You're sure about the young lady, Stan? You're sure she's susceptible?
Oh, believe me, Mr. Bentley, you can make book on it. Cora Willis throws money around at that hotel like it's going out of style.
You've mentioned me to Miss Willis?
Uh-huh. And she can't wait till she meets you.
Well, I have exciting news for you, Stan. I'm all set.
The brooch?
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Looks like the real thing.
Does it?
Yeah, I'll say. Looks like the $10,000 it's supposed to be worth.
It is worth $10,000.
What?
Every penny of it. This brooch is the real thing.
But, Mr.
However, This brooch is imitation, but it would take an expert to tell them apart.
I don't get it.
One of my trade secrets, and I might add the secret of my unique business success, sir.
Maybe I'm dumb, but I don't follow. You spent $10,000 on that brooch there?
Yes.
Well, why? Why bother?
To ensure the transaction, to build confidence. And despite the sucker's feeling, I always insisted he first go off on his own and have a jeweler of his own choosing appraise the brooch.
Oh, I see. Then you pull the switch after.
Exactly. Thus ensuring myself the time to make a getaway before the rude awakening.
Yeah, one thing bothers me, sir.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Well, letting the sucker have the brooch for appraisal. You never can be too sure of people. Sometimes...
Stan, my boy, it may be old-fashioned of me, but I should hate to live in a world where I could not trust my fellow man.
After the lab established the make and grade of the paper and ink and the phony stock certificates, the manufacturers were asked to supply us with a list of their customers. One particular user, a customer on both lists, was of keen interest to us.
Belmont Printing Company, New York City, owned and operated by Carl Belmont.
The name Carl Belmont was familiar to us. He had some years previous been engaged in engraving $5 bill plates without the government's permission. After serving time, he apparently abandoned this precarious livelihood. Agent Reynolds and I flew to New York to question Belmont.
Yes, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
You're Carl Belmont.
That's right, best printer and engraver in town. Ask any of my customers.
The one we want to ask, we can't quite locate.
Huh?
But we have a sample of the job you did for him.
You mean that?
This stock certificate.
Oh, police.
FBI.
Now look, I didn't do anything.
You're not being accused. Yet.
Well, what do you want from me?
First, an admission that you printed and engraved this.
Well, I do a lot of engraving and printing. Give me time to look it over, will you? I can't remember every job I do.
Does the name Stan Helton help refresh your memory?
Who? Stan who?
Helton. Come on, Belmont.
Oh, Helton. Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember now. I did do this job for somebody named Helton.
What else do you remember?
Well, what else is to remember? A customer comes in, orders a job, picks it up when it's finished, pays, and leaves. What's else to remember?
Well, the 5 years you spent in prison, for example.
Yeah, that I'm trying to forget.
Then suppose you tell us where Helton is now.
Well, how would I know? He was just another customer.
Just another customer.
Positively, just happened to walk in off the street one day.
Just happened to walk in.
You don't believe me?
Should we?
You think I'd lie to the FBI?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Los Angeles. He was there the last time I heard from him.
Which was when?
2 weeks ago. He had me ship him out a dozen of these certificates.
Shipped to him where?
He's got an apartment. I have the address right here in the book. 735 El Rancho Drive. Now, look, you won't tell Stan I told you, will
you? The subject won't come up. He'll have more to worry about than you.
Another glass of sherry, Mr. Bentley?
Oh, thank you. But no, Miss Willis. You've already given an old man enough of your time and hospitality.
The pleasure's been all mine. It was so interesting hearing stories of your family, particularly the one about this brooch.
Yes. It meant a great deal to my father.
Oh, I feel just dreadful that you're forced to sell it.
Believe me, it's great comfort knowing it'll be in such appreciative hands. It isn't often that one finds a young woman so sensitive to the finer emotions of life.
It's just a shame, the things people must do for money.
Mm, isn't it? Well, I must be going. I'll see you tomorrow.
Mr. Bentley.
Yes, my dear?
I don't feel right about this brooch. I mean, having it appraised.
Oh, now, Miss Willis.
I really don't. Why, it's as if I didn't trust you.
Well, I know you do.
Well, then, please, let me give you a check right now.
Miss Willis, sentiment is one thing, business another. I insist upon your knowing the full value of that brooch.
But I...
I'm sorry. I'll have it no other way.
Very well, then, Mr. Bentley. Until tomorrow, then.
Until tomorrow.
Hmm.
Until never, huh, Cora?
How did I do, Stan? Everything the way you wanted?
Perfect, right down the line. Now, do you feel better about the deal?
Well, I don't know.
Well, we got the brooch, haven't we?
Yes.
And what's eating you now?
I guess you're right. I'm worried over nothing.
Sure.
I'll feel better, though, when we have the cash and we're on our way.
Okay, baby, okay. Get your things packed.
They already are.
All right. Just as soon as I cash in the brooch, I'll be back to my place to pick you up. Cora!
Yes.
We've been taken. This brooch is the phony one.
I know.
The jeweler said it's worth... What did you say?
I know.
That it's a phony?
That it's a phony.
What are you trying to pull? You knew it all the time and you let me...
Not all the time.
Then when?
Since I came here to your place.
What are you talking about?
She's talking about me, Stan.
What?
I was waiting outside in the hall for you to return. She got here first and was kind enough to invite me in. Oh, you don't look well at all, my boy. Perhaps you should sit down.
You won't listen to me. I felt it all along. I knew something was wrong.
Shut up.
After what's happened, you've no right to give me orders.
I told you to shut up.
I won't.
Come, children. There's no need for recrimination.
He had you all figured out. Knew you from A to Z.
Well, you really can't expect perfection from an amateur.
Amateur, you hear that? That's just what you are, a stupid, bungling amateur.
You were on to me all the time.
Not until we went into a joint business venture, my boy. Sentiment is one thing, business another.
So you did some checking on your own, huh?
I dare say. And believe me, Stan, what a bitter disappointment you were to me.
To you? What about me?
So help me, if you don't close that trap
all
of yours...
All right, you're not even worth wasting my breath on.
Yeah,
I'm getting out of here. Goodbye and good riddance.
Oh, pardon me.
What do you want?
We're looking for Stanley Helton.
Well, that's him, right there.
Just a moment, please. We'd like you to remain...
Get your hands off me. Who do you think you are?
FBI.
What?
FBI?
Inside, please.
Now, look, I don't know what this is all about.
Sure
but...
you do, Helton.
Now, wait a minute. I got something to say.
Let me give you one final word of advice, young man. When in a situation like this, never, but never argue with the FBI.
Well, Bentley, this is the last place we expected to find you. We really believed you'd quit the game for good.
No, I have. This isn't a business transaction at all. This gentleman was begging for a lesson. So I gave him a good one.
It was established that Cora Willis had been involved with Helton in previous swindles, for which they both stood trial. Helton received a sentence of 5 years, the Willis woman 3. All the events surrounding their attempt to cheat a former cheater were revealed at their trial. As for Philip Bentley, he continues to live a life of peace and quiet and has no desire at all to come out of retirement.
In tonight's story, Larry Haynes played the part of Stanley Helton. Bob Dryden was the Purple Duke. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Ed Adamson. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Cullen's copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval for the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
The FBI in Peace and War has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.